Welcome to the Mastermind Your Launch podcast, broadcasting live on Business Radio X. Your place for weekly entrepreneurial lessons from Atlanta's most inspiring technology startups. And now your host, Stephanie Diaz.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Mastermind Your Launch podcast on Business Radio X. I'm your host, Stephanie Diaz, and we are broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studios at North Point Executive Suites. I am super excited today because today's guest is also a good friend, someone I look up to, someone I love sharing business strategy with. So I know that we're going to have a really awesome conversation here today. Welcome, Melanie Romano of Zo Media Solutions. Welcome,
Melanie. Hey, Stephanie. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Now, and if you guys are wondering, what is Zo Media Solutions? Well, first of all, it's a social media company. Melanie and her staff leverage social media to attract and convert leads for their clients. Melanie, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and about Zo Media?
Well, sure. You know my name. I'm Melanie Romano. The company is Zo Media. And we've been around just about 7 years, almost celebrating our seventh birthday anniversary. Yeah. And started right here in Alpharetta, just up the street.
I love it. Yeah. We were just talking about the state of the city address for Alpharetta was this morning. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's glowing. So super proud to be business owners here.
Absolutely. It's a good home.
Yeah. And really quick for the listeners, want to let you guys know that in the spirit of social, all things social media, we are live tweeting right now. So you can follow me at Mastermind Steph, STEF. You can follow North Fulton Business Radio X at North Fulton BRX. And you can follow Melanie at Zo Media Strategy. So follow us there, live tweet us. And yeah, we'll see you there on Twitter. Good. Okay. So Melanie, why don't you give us a little bit more background about Zo Media?
Absolutely. So we actually started the business intending to teach business owners how to do this stuff on their own and get it done successfully within the time that they had available. So it wasn't long before my clients started asking me, you know, this stuff is great and I can see that it works, but I make money doing this thing over here.
Right.
You know, could you manage this on my behalf? It very organically evolved and grew. And now the core of our business is actually managing social media on behalf of our clients. So they empower us, they give us everything we need so that we can represent them authentically on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Pinterest, whatever is most appropriate for that business.
Right. And so media, or so media, social media
yes.
Is changing all the time. And so
every day.
I know. Yeah. So how you leverage it, the strategies that you use, you have to constantly evolve with that. So I'm excited to dive into that in just a second, but I would love to go back and let's talk about, you know, 7 years ago and where you were that inspired this launch.
So Zo Media came together almost by accident. I am a student in the Richard Branson School of Business, and he talks about how if you are lucky enough to be able to recognize something that's happening at the right time, you are set up for success, essentially. And so that's what happened to me. I was really looking for a better way to get connected. Found that Facebook was a better way for me to connect my business with prospective clients and customers. This was before Facebook had business pages. So let me back up just a minute and tell you that I was actually running a learning center just over in Colony Square off of Alpharetta Highway. And I was looking for a way to be more accessible and available to my SAT students. I would see them maybe every 2 weeks and felt like I wanted to be more connected to them. I wanted to be more available for them and knew that if I could be, they would be more successful. And so I asked them. It was my very first foray into crowdsourcing. I asked my students, where can I be more available for you? You're not emailing me. You're not calling me. What can I do? And they said, Facebook. I'm on Facebook all day, every day. So if I need you, please be there. And this is before Facebook had business pages. So I really had to be thoughtful in not only who I was working with, students, minors,
yeah,
talking, you know, back and forth with them as a business, I needed to make sure that I was covered there. So we came up with agreements and contracts that the parent saw, the student signed. And the agreement was that they would take a picture of their work, show me where they were struggling. And then my staff and I would use our iPhone 3G and our whiteboard and take videos of us essentially reinforcing, reteaching those concepts on video, posting them to our personal Facebook page at the time.
Right.
And when the light bulb really went off for me was when I had parents I had never met or spoken to coming into the Learning Center asking me how much and when can we start instead of why you as opposed to a Huntington or a Sylvan. And so that really made me take a step back and look at how people are making those buying decisions, because I unknowingly influenced that buying decision before I even had the chance to sell them anything. So that's when the light bulb went off and I knew that there was something here. And so I was right. It was the very first time that a business, a brand, could actually have a conversation,
right,
online, in public or not, with their customers. And then a few months later, Facebook came out with business pages. I was poised and ready to help other business owners do this, really not knowing that I was going to make a business out of it. And then I got laid off, which is sometimes the perfect catalyst for starting a business.
I think you'll be episode number 70 and definitely not the first that it's, you know, really you have obviously built this skill set and it's almost like the universe just giving you that push off the ledge.
Exactly.
Like you have exactly what you need, but I know you'll never jump off by yourself. So here's a little nudge in that direction. And yeah, I mean, I love, you know, what is so great about what you were doing is what content marketing is supposed to do. It's supposed to position you so that people get farther along in that know, like, trust cycle. By the time you're actually having that in-person conversation, it is a, just tell me how much and where do I sign?
They already know, you know? Me. They
That's
already
beautiful.
Like me. They
right.
already trust me. Yeah. So the day I got laid off, I actually went and got my job back at Apple. I called my boss and said, because I've never left a job without a plan.
Right.
I didn't know it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly wasn't excited about getting laid off, but I got my job back at Apple. I went home and told my husband, I lost my job. I start back at Apple tomorrow and you and I are going to open a social media marketing company. So we stayed up all night making our business plan and figuring it out, which we're still doing 7 years later, is still figuring it out.
Right. So, okay. So let's talk a little bit about mindset in that moment, because you had gotten laid off. A little bit of a gut check right there. Ouch.
Yep.
And then at the same time, you did, though, turn around. You were able to secure a job with a former employer. So you had a bit of security in that moment. But still, you said, I'm not going to rest on that. I've got an idea and I'm going to take action. Where did that come from?
I think the idea had already been marinating. My husband and I had kind of talked about it starting as early as February. And we actually opened our doors in April. So I got laid off like March 20th or something like that. Mm-hmm. We went down to Florida. I ran a half marathon and that had a lot of time to think about what I was actually doing. But I've just never been an idle person. I don't stay still for very long. Again, I've never lost a job without a plan. I usually have two jobs. Going through college, I had two or three at a time and I like to be busy. The busier I am, the better I am. So having that kind of stepping stone at Apple really helped to set me up for success. And that's how I looked at it. I knew that I wanted to build this company. This is going to be something that's going to replace my income and my husband's. There's something here.
Yeah.
But I knew that I needed something to get me there. And I'm glad that I went back to Apple. I actually made some incredible business contacts. I ended up speaking at the Apple store. I still do. And that generates some really interesting relationships and conversations for me.
Good. Well, and it's also good. I mean, plenty, myself included, you know, start as kind of like a side hustle, sidepreneur. And it's important that gives you the flexibility to start kind of testing your ideas without feeling so, you know, and being in a sales conversation without being like desperate, you know, you really have the ability to just, you know, bring some great positive energy, creativity to what you're doing and not put so much pressure on it.
And it gave me the time and room to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Exactly. Not having as much pressure was extremely helpful. It gave me that confidence. It helped me to be honest in those conversations. I'm just getting started. And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to just get started. And people are interested in helping people get started. So that was helpful.
Yeah. Talk about that for a little bit.
I think when you're just starting out, people want to see you successful, especially when they start to know and like you and trust you. And that is really where I figured out what networking is all about.
Yes.
It's all about being helpful, trying to help other people plug in, connect the dots. And when you're asking people to do something like follow me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and I give you really good information there, and I'll post some really interesting articles that you might like, That's a really easy thing for people to do. I'm not asking them for their time. I'm not asking them for their money. I'm just asking them to follow me. And hey, if you like something, hit the like button or share it on. It really helps me.
Mm-hmm.
And when people feel like they can help you in your business without a whole lot of time, energy, or money, it's amazing what they'll do. And so for me, that's how I really started out, just building my following one-to-one, asking each and every person that I saw to please connect with me, follow me, ask me your questions. Before you Google it, ask me. I'd love to be your resource. And that's what I've continued to do. And over 7 years, I've finally built kind of that following. Now, if you look at my numbers, if you look at my Facebook page, we have just over, I think, 1,100 followers. And I'm proud of that. I don't need to have 12,000 followers. I know who all 1,100 of those people are.
Exactly. Yeah. Quality over quantity, for sure. Right.
Yep.
Well, and I think that so many, especially, you know, when I think about technology startups, building so much in the beginning and getting out there and just building that network and being the spunky, I don't know it, but I'm out here and I'm trying something new and it's really crazy right now. And just kind of being honest about where you're at. People see that authenticity. I know that word is overused probably, but it's so true. They connect with your courage. They see that you've taken a risk and you're, you know, working, and they like that and they want to be a part of it. And yeah, they might not be able to do a much more than follow you on Facebook, but they're excited to see where you go, especially, you know, when they see the potential of what you could do.
And I think that speaks to the benefit of just relationships in general and connecting with as many people as possible, especially when you're starting out. The story that I want to share here is that the people you meet today may not need you right now. Right? Not everybody's a customer. Not every customer is ready right now. So I have had people 5 and 6 and 7 years later who have followed me all this time come to me and say, you know what? I'm in a business and I've been in it for 3 and 4 years and now I have money and I need your help, which is amazing. And it starts with that connection. If you can just connect with me, follow me, that means you've invited me to stay in your feed, to stay top of mind, and that helps to make you think about me when you need help, when somebody else needs help. So a lot of it when it comes to social media is planting the seeds for growth.
I love it. Well, and you know, going back to that, you know, when they come to that point where they need that service, they're not shopping around.
They don't think of anybody but me.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
It's only you. I love that. We're going to dive more into that really quick. If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Mastermind Your Launch on Business Radio X. Stephanie Diaz here, and I am sitting down with Melanie Romano of So Media Solutions, and we are talking about social media strategy. And what I love about, you know, this that I want to dive deeper into is, you know, a lot of people, when they think about growing their business on social, they think about cold traffic. How do I run those ads and get all of those? But what I love and how it's worked for me and in your story, obviously you, is no, social media first and foremost can be that fantastic platform for you to stay engaged with your warm leads and
Bingo.
Keep that connection going so that when they need you or when you hit that critical point that they can jump in and come alongside as a strategic partner, that they have been along the journey the entire time. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I've had some really interesting experiences with that. I mean, I mentioned speaking at the Apple Store 7 years ago, and I literally have clients who called me 3 weeks ago and said, you know, I was there. I didn't even know they were there, but I heard you talk at the Apple Store and you're my girl. So even with, again, just the one connection can keep you that top of mind, which is amazing. We're in the business of building relationships and building valuable relationships, getting to that point where I can know you, that I like you, that I trust you. And part of the knowing is the following.
Mm-hmm.
When you're following me and I do continue to give you really good information, and then I continue to kind of love on you, right?
Right.
Stephanie, I share your stuff. I support what you're doing. And that gives me a bit of equity, social equity. So I can earn the right to ask you, Stephanie, when I'm on a podcast today, would you share this for me? You're not going to hesitate to do that. So I'm with you 100%. It's really about nurturing those connections, right? These are already people you know. That's the best place to start with your building your social media presence. Start with the low-hanging fruit, your email list, the people you talk to every single day. Warm up those relationships so that you can convert the sale, influence the buying decision. But then remember that your primary reach is that warm audience. When you get that warm audience to engage and to take action, hit the like button, hit the comment button, share, retweet, whatever it might be, you are now hitting a secondary and tertiary audience. These are the friends and family of your warm audience who are discovering you for the first time. And that's where I think content becomes so important, that one message you send out today may not resonate. The second message may not, but the third one might be exactly what I need.
Right.
And that's, again, when I'm going to think of you, because you're the one who's teaching me about all of these things. So definitely think about your warm network and then what you can do to expand from there using, you know, your low-hanging fruit.
So two directions I want to go from here. So one, I mean, I'm sure for your different clients, this answer is very different, but I'd love to know for you, what are your favorite social media platforms?
I'm an Instagrammer all day long.
You are?
I love Instagram.
IG, yeah.
Yeah. They're ripping off Snapchat to a certain degree.
Stories.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I do really like that it's all right there. I'm not into Snapchat personally, but it's an amazing business tool for some of our clients.
Yeah, someone's getting really rich right now off of that
IPO. For sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I love Instagram too. I like that they introduced the stories element, you know, competing with Snapchat.
Me too.
Because I already had a lot more followers on Instagram. Snapchat makes it more difficult for people to find you there. They've gamified it so much that you really have to, people have to want to find you on Snapchat.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, and Instagram is completely different. You're a lot more discoverable there. So I love that. So what about Instagram makes it your favorite?
Just personally, it's easy to use. I'm not into filters as much. I love actual photography, and iPhone photography is awesome. But the ability to connect with and actually build relationships cold is really cool on Instagram because it's so visual. Person to person isn't as easy on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Business to person is not easy at all on Facebook. But on Instagram, I can talk to individuals all day long as a business.
Right.
Twitter's great. It's a little bit more left brain than I am. And so that is why I kind of lean towards that. Instagram is so much more visual and creative. And then influencers. Influencer marketing is where it is at. We are in the infancy of influencer marketing. It doesn't feel like it because it's kind of a big deal, but it's going to become bigger and bigger as we go on. It's going to be, I think, the major focus for a lot of brands in the next decade.
Absolutely. I mean, I know we've had some startups here, Yaystack and Shouty Live, as they've pivoted to, they are really leveraging the power of the fact that, you know, you and I, we have a network. You know, it's not
That's just right.
Celebrities. You as an individual, you know, whatever your title is or status is, can have a massive following. And how do you capitalize on that? And now these companies are starting to emerge that allow you to, you know, have some monetary benefit.
Yep.
From the influence that you've had, if you're creating amazing content that people are following. So I love that. And, you know, something that you kind of hit on that I really want the listeners to plug into, if you're out there and you're trying to grow your business or your startup and you're unsure of what platform is where you need to invest your time in, because you definitely don't, you can't be on all of them and do a great job, is think about where people are open to following people that they don't know. Because on Facebook, while yes, Facebook has a lot of users at any given point in time, people are very like, my newsfeed, if you are in my news, like that is precious real estate right there.
Yep.
And they don't allow people that they don't know and already have a rapport with to enter their newsfeed. And if you do, they get very upset. And they also don't really search out new people. They really just want to keep in touch with their network. Whereas Instagram, you hashtag, you want to see what other people are doing in that same hashtag. You'll follow people that you don't know if they're creating cool content, and that's fine. And not as much of your personal information is on Instagram. So you feel okay letting other people follow you back. So you kind of have to think about the context of that platform too, you know, where you want to be and where people are going to find you.
And what kind of engagement you can get, and really, I think, outreach. What's most natural for you to do outreach? And I think this may be a topic you want to dig into a bit more, is the idea of outreach at all. So as you said, an individual business owner, somebody who's managing this on their own, needs to pick one or two places where they can be successful. A company who's outsourcing their social media to a company like mine can be everywhere all the time because you're hiring somebody professional to do that. And that's my only job.
Mm-hmm.
You should look good everywhere all the time. When it comes to outreach, I think a lot of people miss it. A lot of people don't want to do it because it's hard work. But it is the idea of reaching out and saying hello to a prospect, to a qualified prospect. And that could just be with a double tap on an Instagram photo.
Mm-hmm.
I know you do this. I do this. Whenever somebody likes my photos, especially three or four of them, and I don't know who they are, I'm going to go look at their profile.
Right.
And wonder, who is that person? How are they relevant to me? Do I want to follow them back? And so those little activities, doing those from your business to people who you want to work with, talk to, gets you on their radar. It's your digital wave. It's a digital handshake. And that is one of the best ways to build a following.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time consuming. And you don't want to necessarily do the outreach with just anybody. You want to make sure that that's very focused, qualified time.
Right. And there's, you know, apps and things that help you do that as well.
There are. And yeah. I just made a face at you.
I know.
because there are all sorts of interesting applications out there that will help you, quote unquote, automate your social media.
Which I can't. You know when someone started.
I'm going to tell you to be really careful.
Yeah, no, because I can tell who's been automated because they'll leave a comment on my Instagram post that has nothing to do with the comment or with the
or
post.
Or anything.
Yeah.
Completely generic.
Right. But I love that, you know, I want to get into content, but above and beyond content, it's not just about posting. It is also about getting out there and engaging.
Having those conversations, saying hello, starting the conversation, continuing it. And some of the best ways to do that are actually to mention other people.
Mm-hmm.
So Woman Crush Wednesday, you know, Stephanie, totally in my WCW.
Oh, I love it.
Yes. But that's a form of outreach. Mm-hmm. Mentioning somebody who is important to you, influential to your network. That is, you know, that's a post on my behalf, but you might just retweet that. I don't know.
Right. Exactly. Of course. Yeah. And then supporting, you know, the people that you know.
Mm-hmm.
So let's give a couple of tips or strategies around how to know what kind of content to put out there. Because I think that's where a lot of people get stuck, is they don't know what to post or they feel like they have nothing to post. And so they don't. And then they lose engagement. They lose followers.
Yes. So you're right. There's one very important thing there, which is consistency, right? We need to make sure that we're consistent. Posting 7 days a week for 1 week and then not posting for a month is not going to get you anywhere. I would rather you spread those posts out over the month. 7 times in a month rather than 7 times in a week is better. And I'm a huge fan of not adding to the noise.
Yeah.
If I'm going to put an Instagram out there, it's something that is important to me and I'm really there personally, but I'm not trying to make noise and I'm not trying to help my clients make noise. And what I mean by that is tweeting for the sake of tweeting. There are definitely people out there who will tell you if you're not tweeting 3 times a day, nobody's going to hear you. Well, that might be true if your following is completely irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If your following, again, is 100 people who actually care about you, want to hear from you, and will talk about you, they will likely see your tweets, your Instagrams, your Facebook. The algorithms work very similarly. So I am in the school of remarkable content. If you're going to say something, make it literally remarkable. It's worth my reaction, my like, my comment, my share. It's helpful, it's interesting. And that is, I think, the golden rule. Before you say anything, is this helpful, valuable, interesting to my audience? If it's not, then you don't need to say it. Does it add anything? Does it add value to your brand, to your business, to the conversation? If not, then rethink it. And then I would recommend hesitating with your tweets,
mm-hmm.
with your Instagrams. Do what feels natural, do what feels comfortable, but hesitate. Take a step back and read it 3 times. Read it out loud. Read it to your spouse. Call me. Read it to me. The more you read it and the more you consider different perspectives, the more likely you are to be successful in that decision. Is this a good idea or a bad idea?
That's for sure. I mean, there's definitely been, and some of these are very large companies that have obviously not followed this protocol, put something out there. Maybe they just really had no clue what could happen, but people are, I mean, if you are even just a little bit off, or if it could be misconstrued in any little way, they will. And it will
yes.
be put on blast and you will be in the newspaper. And they say all press is good press, but no, it is not. So you really have to think about how it could be received from multiple angles. Yeah.
And if you look at everything, you know, from a positive perspective, you're only trying to add good things and positive thoughts out into the world, you're usually safe. But you're right. People are looking for a reason to be mad now.
I think people are just especially sensitive and
yes.
doubly if you are trying to piggyback on a trending story, because that is actually a very, you know, creative and low cost way to get your message in front of a lot of new people is to hop on a hashtag that's trending, you know,
mm-hmm.
with an event or, you know, something that happened. But if there's a lot of energy going, people probably have a lot of heated opinions. So watch what you're saying.
Hesitate. Yeah. Just be careful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that. Good. Okay. So Melanie, so you have been an entrepreneur for coming on 7 years. And I know that none of us do this alone. I would love for you to share a little bit about the community that has really supported you along the way.
Sure. Well, I have to start with my husband. When I came home and told him we're starting this business, he said, "What are we doing?" And he didn't have a Facebook page. And I had to set him up and give him a Facebook profile. And I helped him understand, you know, how we could reach actually individual people with granular messages. So he was excited about it. He gave me $1,500 as a business loan. We incorporated, we got the brand done, I got some business cards, and I paid him back within the first 90 days. We've been in the black ever since, which is just the way that I like to run my business. Yeah. I'm not a huge debt person, but starting with Randy, he was really he helped to build that foundation of success for me. And again, kind of give me that wiggle room to go out and experiment and do so safely and not fearing that if I fail this one thing, it's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to my loving husband for that. But then I would say after that, business coaches. So I went to school I was a psychology and English major. I got my master's here at Oglethorpe to be a teacher. I've never studied marketing. I've never studied business. And I'm okay with that. It has actually given me an interesting edge. But I knew that there was a lot I didn't know going into business, how to do it right. So I leaned on people who did this for a living to help me avoid some of those pitfalls. I've definitely learned a few things the hard way. But looking at experts, people who are already there doing the work, being successful, using them as my resource and not being too proud, I think, to say, you know, I can figure it out on my own. I would have learned a lot more, a lot harder if I had done that. So I really sought the advice of mentors, business coaches, and still do. I'm very lucky to have some incredible mentors in my life now. And then beyond that, just building my network. So I've got into PowerCore. I discovered BNI. And have really come into some incredible relationships because of it. And there are a few key ones along the way. There's a mobile development company. I met the owner, Leslie Waugh, of Vine Branch Designs, 7 years ago up here at Rome, just by virtue of being at the same event at the same time. She and I have grown up in business together, and we continue to pass business back and forth. I built relationships with SEO companies, design companies, and that's the same thing. We pass business back and forth. So even 7 years in, being into social media as much as we are, our business is still, I would say, 97% referrals. I might get a bluebird. Somebody calls me because they stumbled upon our website or they saw our logo on a partner's website. But other than that, it's really all about who we know that has helped us to sustain and to continue to grow.
Right. Well, and you know, like you said, you're nurturing those warm leads, you know, and that leads to referrals. So you don't have to do a whole lot of, you know, advertising on, you know, trying to get that cold traffic. Just make sure that you keep in touch with those people who already have seen your work, trust you, and just when the timing is right that they can refer or become a client, then there you go.
That's exactly right. And I think there is definitely a case for paid social when it comes to certain things. So I am not a fan of spending a certain amount of money on Facebook every month, no matter what. I'm really not. I would prefer to kind of sprinkle in that budget when it really matters. So let's say you're hosting an event. You have that, you know, those warm connections, the people who are connected with you, your email list, et cetera. But it might be a really good idea then to put out an ad to promote your Eventbrite site for that event to reach very, very specific people. And you'd be amazed what you can do with just $100.
Right. Well, and also, you know, keeping, you know, talking about the fact that you might have a warm list. It could be your email list. It could be the traffic that has come across your website. You can actually go into Facebook and have Facebook target your mailing list with an ad or create a lookalike audience of people. So, you know, yeah, there are some kind of ninja moves that you can do with Facebook ads that I'm a big fan of too. But I love what you said. Don't just throw money at it, you know, just recurring. It's got to be with a level of strategy, intention, knowing what kind of return you want to get on it for sure.
Exactly.
Good. Before we wrap, I would love to hear from you just a moment along this journey that really just stands out. You know, maybe it was a burst of momentum in the business, just a high point, you know, just kind of confirming I did the right thing, whether it's been recent or it was early on.
So this would be more recent, I would say. In our business, we are service oriented. We are a distributed team. which means that we all work from all over the world, wherever we are. And as we've grown, we've expanded, we've contracted, we've hired people, we've lost people, we've brought on clients who stay with us for 7 years, and sometimes we lose one. But recently, we had a bit of a step back. There was a point where we lost a significant percentage of our revenue, and it just made me, again, take a step back and be very introspective about what I'm doing as a leader, what we're doing as a business. I decided to go back to my roots and discovered that I had been really working in the business and really on like our processes and making sure that we're successful with what we're already doing and not focusing so much on continuing to grow. So again, another lesson to keep that balance. But I read a book called The Four Disciplines of Execution. It's written by actually a friend of mine, Jim Huling. It's very cool that I can call him a friend.
Yeah.
But that book really kind of changed my trajectory. And this was in November of this last year. So this is a very recent kind of reflection in just remaining focused, keeping focused. And so it reinforced the fact that I'm doing things right, because I don't think I could have implemented Four Disciplines of Execution the way that I did had our team not had that foundation, the culture that we've worked so hard to build. And it is a little bit harder for us being distributed to have a really solid culture and communication strategy within our team. So we were able to go in as a team together. Our team now knows exactly what our revenue is. They know exactly what our costs are.
Wow.
I mean, it is a wow. It's mm-hmm. hard for me to be that transparent. It was. Now it's not so much. But it's because we have such a culture of trust. The people have been with us for so long. We expect them to stay with us for a while, that they know all the details. And we came up with wildly important goals together. And that's the crux of 4DX, is to find out what your wildly important goals are, come to that conclusion as a team. And then each of us make a commitment every week to do something to move those two needles. We have a scoreboard. There's a whole thing. And it has really changed the way that we operate. But I don't think that it would have worked as well if we didn't have the people and the processes before we tried to implement something like this. So that definitely reinforced that as a leader, I'm on the right track, I'm doing the right things, and that sometimes you have to lose to win.
Right.
So that's something that has really been resonating lately is, you know, we've been winning and we've been doing a great job. And sometimes it does take a step back. It takes a loss to force you to kind of reevaluate and to grow. So the cool thing is, I know I started the story saying we were down in revenue. We've already are past where we were when we lost that great percentage of revenue, and we're on track to have an even better year. So very excited about that. Having said all that, though, we still have ways to go with mm-hmm. this Four Disciplines of Execution, with our goals, with our growth, and it has changed our trajectory a little bit. So I'm excited about 2017, and I'm still really excited, thank goodness, now that it's February 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sometimes those goals tend to drop off, and
right.
now they're still right where they are, and we're killing it. We're knocking those goals out of the park every week.
I love it. Well, and thank you for sharing that too, and just being, you know, transparent. You know, it's not always easy to admit, you know, we took a step back, but
every business does.
Oh, that's for sure. Girl, so tell me the name of the book one more time.
The name of the book is Four Disciplines of Execution. If you want to look it up on Instagram, it's #4DX.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of different authors, but my friend is Jim Huling. You'll have to meet him, Stephanie.
All right. Yes. Yeah. And I'll have to check out that book for sure. Awesome. Well, Melanie, before we wrap, one piece of advice for an entrepreneur out there in the early stages or thinking about getting out there, what would you say to them, knowing everything you know today and knowing that we don't know everything?
That's right. Probably the first thing is, you don't know everything and nobody else does either. Is you're going to figure this out as you go. You think everybody else has it figured out? I promise, nobody does. So be brave. Decide that and be confident in what you're doing and be brave. Go do it. And be real about it. It's okay that you don't have everything figured out. And the more honest you are about it, the more likely people are to trust you faster.
Oh, I love it. Well, Melanie, thank you for being on the show, for being brave and for being honest and for being here. It has been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. This was so much fun.
Yay. And thank you to the listeners for tuning in. And remember that today is a great day to face forward and mastermind your launch.